You're listening to the Financial Freedom with Real Estate Investing podcast, hosted by Garrett Lynch and Michael Blanc, where we talk all about how you can achieve financial independence through apartment building investing. Whether you're just starting out or you want to scale your syndication business, this is the show for you.
Hi, dealmakers. Welcome to the show where it's all about financial freedom with real estate. Ready for the next chapter in multifamily investing insights? Don't miss my conversation with one of our mentors as he shares his real estate investment story. And we have a shout out from Brooke Craven on Apple Podcasts. She says, "This is an awesome podcast. Michael really knows how to achieve financial freedom through apartment investing. The show is genius." If you enjoy this podcast, please leave us a starred review and help other listeners find us. And for our success highlights, we have David Meltzer and Chris Parmelo. They're Jeremy's mentoring students. They did a 71-unit deal in Alabama for $2.8 million. Well done, David and Chris. If you've done a deal, tag us on social media or email us at support@themichaelblanc.com. And welcome to our latest episode of Financial Freedom with Real Estate Investing Podcast. I'm Mary Beth Noonan, and today I'm talking with one of our mentors, Jeremy Lemaire. Jeremy began his real estate career over a decade ago by leveraging his professional and technical skills in rehabbing single-family and duplex properties. His investment portfolio is made up of personal investments, self-directed IRA funds, solo 401k funds, and syndicated investment fundings from other investors. Hey, Jeremy, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hey, Mary Beth, I'm doing great. Great to be with you today.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're a wealth of knowledge. I want to dive into everything. But first, I want to know a little bit more about how you got started, because looking at, you know, your portfolio now and it's so impressive. I'm like, what was the starting point from all of this?
Sure. Well, the starting point was 2008 with the big economic recession that we had back then. And at that point, I had three young kids and, you know, my wife was a stay-at-home mom with the three young ones. And at that point, I was the sole person working every day, right? And there was a lot of pressure to make sure that you maintain your jobs during very heavy layoffs. And that always kind of set a marker in me that there must be some other thing that needs to be done or that I can be doing to help ensure that I'm in a good place long term. And so in 2010, I actually got into real estate, and my parents had some duplexes when I was younger. We had the opportunity to do some things there, but it never really became a thing because I was working on a job that I would get relocated across the country. And because of that situation, I never kind of got back into it. But when we had our kids, you know, it became an option again because we were pretty much stationary. We weren't going to take any more transfers as the kids got into school. We were going to kind of settle down, if you will. And with that, I started entering into some duplex activities in 2010, you know, coming out of 2009 into 2010. And then we quickly ran out of money. So when we ran out of money from those first initial investments, we had to figure out how do we make the next block of funds. And at that point, started to address, I had changed jobs and started to address and understand self-directed IRAs. So we bought a couple more duplexes with those funds after we got them into self-directed status. And then at that point, we did it again. We ran out of funds. So we ended up at that point looking at doing basically flips to create those blocks of funds that we could then redeploy into more rental properties. So we did that a couple times, and then we would flip one, then we would flip another one into a rental through the BRRRR strategy. And after we did about three or four fix and flips and sold those, we really got to the point where the market was starting to recover. And we were able to start refinancing some of our earlier properties and actually pulling that equity back out because we bought those at really good discounts at that point in time. So we started being able to just cash out. So it just became a perpetuating BRRRR process after that point. And then about 2018, I really got to the point where I was looking to transition out of my full-time job. We had quite a number of properties that we were taking care of outside of that W-2 job. And if I could find a path out, it was beneficial to me long-term. So I actually entered the program back in 2017, going into 2018. And was a student in the mentoring program and purchased my first property in the first half of 2018, purchased another one in August. And at that point, I was kind of like okay, if I have to transition out of my W-2 job, I can do that. And I stayed working for a while after that, kind of a different mindset at that point, but was able to keep doing that and continue to grow the portfolio. And then when we kind of hit 2020, we started looking at additional asset classes and we started expanding into storage and some commercial space, basically primarily invested right in our backyard at that point.
Yeah. And your story, you know, we actually see that a lot with people who come into the Michael Blanc program is they're flipping houses and they are looking for financial freedom. And it's really switching to multifamily is really the way to go for that. So of course, we're glad you found our program, not only for yourself, but now you are a mentor within the Michael Blanc program. So you're helping students actively get deals and to work on their paths to financial freedom. So how did you get started as a mentor here?
Sure. So I basically continued to grow my portfolio and stayed very active, actually participated in some of the kind of the follow-up mastermind groups. And in that process of sticking with the mastermind activities, Michael's team ended up reaching out to me to enter into a mentorship role. And having been kind of early in that process, but have a very diverse background, it started out kind of with just a couple students at the beginning. And as the program has grown and I basically exited my W-2 job, it's afforded me more time to help coach more students in the program to help them through the process too.
Great. And what is it like being a mentor for you and your students?
Sure. For myself, it's really interesting to be able to touch base with folks from around the country and see all the different dynamics that are happening in the market, right? We all go through market cycles. They may be at a little bit different point or they have a different peak in a different valley, but it's really interesting to see and understand that because some markets start to feel things sooner than what I do in my backyard necessarily, or maybe not as we don't experience it in the Midwest as extensively as some other markets. So it's really good to keep abreast of that. From the student standpoint, I did my MBA back in between 2008 and 2011. So it's really been interesting to, and I did that to help with this economic thing that we had going on back then, really opened up my eyes to the financial side of investing, which actually now I can bring that to the group, you know, as a different view over things, because I basically did my MBA with a finance emphasis because of the economic situation. So money and capital markets were a foundation in that program. So understanding rates and its impacts and all the waves that happen has been a lot of the discussion that we have when we start talking about is now the time or the uncertainty in pricing, you know, what strategy should we take in order to ensure that 5 years from now, we don't incur the issues with the rate situation like a lot of folks are experiencing today with, you know, fixed debt. There's a time for fixed interest rate debt and there's a time for floating rate debt, you know, depending on where the general consensus of direction is headed. If you know you're going to have a headwind coming ahead, then certainly don't do a floating rate and, you know, lock in and know that you're going to get through and be able to plow through the future. But you may, you know, times like now, if you can make the numbers work at the current rate, then you now may be the right time. So those types of things coming into play in the discussions are very valuable, as well as, you know, just my personal background coming from the process of single family duplexes and all that sort of thing, and figuring out how to scale out of your W-2 job. I think we have a lot of discussions about, there's a couple different strategies for different people, whether they like their W-2 work, whether they're just trying to set up a nest egg and have, you know, passive income when they cross the bridge into retirement. There are nuances and different ways to execute this real estate as either a job or as a passive income activity in different ways so that you can achieve actually what you want to achieve. And that's one of the first things I have to understand with the students so we get them down the right path and we don't burden them with a new job that they don't necessarily want.
Right. It really is all about tailoring. And I like how you were talking about guiding them through strategies, but also a big part is helping to guide them and veer them away from making mistakes that beginners often make. So can you kind of speak to that experience?
I think some of the two biggest ones that I have, one is it's new, right? Even I can remember still today, that first multifamily acquisition, and every little thing that comes up seems like it's going to be a brick wall that you're just going to run into and you can't figure out how to scale it or get around it or anything like that. But that's not the case. And, you know, fortunately, I had a mentor in the program that was really good with, you know, just kind of like, okay, tell me about a real problem. You know, let's talk about it. Let's talk about how easy this one's to get around. We just have to do certain things to alleviate our concern or to secure our position so that when we move forward, we mitigate the risk associated with that. So helping students do that and not letting those little fears become insurmountable to being able to actually achieve their goal of acquiring that first property or the second property or the third property. I think that's one of the important things. The next is you don't know what you don't know. So I've gone through SDAs with folks and look at the OMs and, you know, start asking questions that seem obvious to me based on the experience or the history, right back to 2008, of understanding, okay, what happens if interest rates go up? Are you going to be protected with the debt product that you're going in? Do you want to lock in given the rates right now? Because if you lock in and you have prepayment penalties, now is not a good time to sign up for loans like that because you won't be able to get out of it. And it's going to cost you substantially to try to get out of those financing arrangements should you want to sell or need to sell this property in a couple, 1 to 3 years instead of at the full term of the loan that you have set up. So lots of those types of things, just kind of, you know, kind of having a consulting office in a way kind of around you, asking you some of those big questions to make sure that it fits with your strategy and why you're there and in the program.
So I'm really excited about our mentoring program because of the results that we're achieving for our students. It's really the only program out there that guarantees results, meaning that we can guarantee you're going to do your first deal in the first 12 months. And no one else does that. And we can do that because we have figured out the blueprint to getting people to do your first deal. So if you value mentorship and you feel like it can accelerate your goals, allow you to scale bigger and avoid the expensive mistakes, then check out our mentoring program. It's at themichaelblank.com/mentor. You can schedule a call with us there, a strategy session, and see if mentoring is right for you. That's themichaelblank.com/mentor.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you have a new mentoring student come to you, what are the qualities that you're looking for that really tell you that this person is going to be successful?
Number one is their desire to learn. If you don't have the desire to learn this new material, you're going to retain those blind spots, and one of them is going to come back and get you, or many of them might come back and get you. So being able to adapt to the changing activities, because, you know, you think about a closing process for a home. If you buy a house, you're going to live in the house if you bought it, but there's a buying process that the homeowner is afraid of. You know, they kind of try to avoid it. Well, in the reality of what we're doing, we're expanding that process. We're not just focusing on our home ownership thing and somebody's going to guide us through long-term, through all the other pieces until we get and own this property. You know, the reality is we have to find it. We have to talk to brokers and deal with that whole side of the business. Then we secure a purchase agreement. We have to get it to closing, do the due diligence activities, tons to learn in all of that process, right? It's navigable, but you have to be ready to learn and do the activities so that you mitigate the risks that are associated with that acquisition process. And then when you get through the acquisition, you now have this asset, you have to operate it and you have to understand those elements, right? So you get into this bigger mindset of end-to-end business operation all the way through eventually disposition. The activity is not complete until you deal with that. And in some cases, you may have investors. In other cases, you may own it outright. All of those different complexities can stack on additional things that you need to do in this business. So to me, it's being able to adapt to the learning process of going through that. And if you know that you have weak spots, right, the strengths, do a SWOT analysis on your personal skills. If you know you have holes, you need to find a business partner, just like many, many people do when they're running a business. Eventually, you'll get to scale and you're going to have to either have employees or other business partners in order to accomplish that. So there are lots of pieces. Folks that understand that business and business process end to end will obviously have the best shot at minimizing the blind spots and knowing that they're going to have to continue to learn. I mean, I still go through probably at least a book a quarter, if not more, just in identifying additional strategies around handling certain types of events and situations. And they vary in a very wide range. You know, it could be from certain outside vendors. It could be from business processes. It could be from employee engagement activities, working with contractor organizations and things like that. It's endless. There's always something to be learned and there's something to improve in your business when it's as diverse of set of activities as all of the real estate process.
Right. And it sounds like you're kind of a forever student in the sense of constantly learning and educating yourself, which is so important in this space. Out of all of the education that you've done, what would you say are the biggest takeaways that you've learned?
I think the most important takeaway is understanding, in the end, to stay in business, it's about financial wellness, right? We have to understand revenue coming in as a priority. We need to manage our expenses and still carry a profit for our investors or for ourselves, whatever it may be, or what that split may be. So that part of the process, if you understand that, you can kind of build all the rest of it and problem solve all the rest of it around it. If you don't understand why you can't achieve your revenue, you're going to have problems, right? You're going to have problems with underwriting the deal. You're going to make mistakes on establishing your foundational budget, at which the business model for that property is centered on. If you can't specify expenses or identify, you know, market trends for expenses, you won't be able to stay in control of them. In the end, you got to have that profit so that you can distribute it back to your investors. And frankly, so that your time is worth something in this industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And now I'm curious, because I know you do multifamily, but you have other things going on as well. So what are you looking for in your next investment opportunity?
I think for myself, as we've expanded into from single family to duplexes to the multifamily space and over to commercial and self-storage and other various things, we do some private money lending. To me, it's about managing the market cycles for each of those activities and the risks associated with them. So there are different times where we may have an opportunity to invest in self-storage because the cap rates are better, you know, at a given point in time, but we can still finance at the same interest rates. So if I can play in a specific asset class and get a better return for our investors, that's great. We're fortunate that we manage across multiple asset classes and we're fairly flexible that way. So it really doesn't matter. It's not like, well, we have to enter the industry in a whole new product or a whole new type of management for that particular asset class. We're diverse already. And by being that way, we can really pick and choose the deals that we do relative to rate of return so we can help our investors.
Yeah. What would you say is the most exciting part of your career?
It's yet to come, I would say. You know, the reality that we can choose to back down on everything that we're doing and actually work towards passive. And being in the industry, being able to network with other folks so that there will be a day that I will need to move funds to some other syndication activities that are not managed by our team or myself. And I can eventually dissolve or hand off that operation and truly be passive, 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 passive in the real estate side. Short of that, right, it's still an active, engaged business. You can do it at a lot of differing levels, but if you get really large, you're still going to be really busy.
Yeah.
So my goal is to get passive long-term and actually, you know, have that more significant time freedom that allows less responsibility and you know, someone else is either taking that up or I can choose to do it part-time as someone else needs help.
Right. And the time freedom is huge. And, you know, Michael talks about that a lot, like the importance of time freedom and living the life that you want to live. So it's great to hear that you're actively working towards your goals as well. So speaking of the future, I want to kind of hear, what do you think is on the horizon in terms of real estate investing?
Sure. I think we're on the return to cash flow. Personally, right? We became very acclimated to appreciation since probably around 2014, 15. It just escalated faster and faster as we approached COVID up through 2022 with the interest rate drop. You know, it extended the bonanza of appreciation that was coming prior to COVID. So 2019 back to 2015. Prior to that, everything kind of sat flat and depressed coming out of the Great Recession of 2008, 2009. I believe that's over, right? We have to rest for a period of time and we're going to recover horizontally in some of this valuation. We're not going to see this slope of the curve of appreciation unless we have a significant inflation problem, which is a whole nother game. But generally speaking, we're going to kind of be in a more normal time frame, but we need to get back to cash flow in order to bear the fruit of the investments that we're putting in into the deals. So we've always managed properties looking for cash flow for our investors. I look at the appreciation as a bonus piece of it. But if you want to live on something, you need to live on the cash flow.
Yeah. Talking about the future, it also has got me thinking about all the experiences like you're talking about back to 2008 and experiencing and all these different asset classes. If you could go back and change the way you did anything in your investing career, would you, and what would that be?
I probably would have left my W-2 sooner, realizing, but there's a learning pace that you can only absorb and execute and implement and gain confidence from the activities that you do at a certain pace, right? There's just this slowdown of your brain to get comfortable with it. Otherwise, you know, you wake up every morning in fear of what you've got in front of you for the day, and that's not any fun. That happens on occasion anyway, even though you don't want it to happen. But being able to get out of that sooner and realizing that you can replace that sooner, I think is probably the thing I would change first. I think the misleading part was to get to passive income. Passive being the mindset that you're not working in it, but there's a significant opportunity to become in control of your own time and your own personal flexibility by kind of transitioning and just figuring the most success that I see comes from the individuals who decide they're going to change careers in a way. They don't necessarily go to passive income from the passive standpoint. They transition from their current occupation to a real estate mindset occupation or an investment organization. And they go through this phase of working in the industry through that channel and then get to the other side when they've actually amassed the wealth that they want to, you know, get to that will become self-perpetuating going forward. And then you can truly be passive. You can choose to be outside of it, of the industry altogether by investing with someone else, or stay engaged in it and maximize the returns. Because frankly, you know, if you've developed the right skill set, who cares more about your money than yourself, and who's going to work to optimize it the most than yourself? And, you know, you can have that dedication and produce that result that very few others will achieve when the care is different than what it is for yourself.
Yeah. It's nice to think that there, you do have a lot of control over what you want your life to look like and the direction you want it to go to. And mm-hmm. It's about tailoring the steps that are going to get you to your ultimate end place that you see.
Agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so if someone is listening right now, is considering mentorship, what do you think they need to know?
I think it's important to realize that most folks that get past a certain level of success start to engage in mentorship in several different ways. One can be a direct paid program. You're going to see, and they will see if they really dig around, lots of mastermind groups. Right. That's another element of it, of sustainability of that activity. When you go on your own, you now need to have another group of peers that you can work with to help develop long term. This is the mentorship program is just that foundational starting point to help you get rolling. And then you need to deal and work in the mastermind worlds so that you can get different aspects of personal development, improvement, business development and improvement. And frankly, there's opportunities to partner and gain scale through those types of activities too. And it won't end. It just doesn't. If you stop doing that, you're probably going to be facing some unknowns that you won't see coming because you're not listening to other folks or peers about what they're seeing so that you can avoid and navigate through the forest as time goes on.
Awesome. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us today and just sharing all of your experience and your advice. I know I was taking notes. I'm sure the people listening are too. Lots of great information in there. Thank you again so much for joining us. And we have a great day.
Thanks, Mary Beth.
Thanks for listening. Take the next step toward financial freedom by downloading Michael's free ebook, The Secret to Raising Money to Buy Your First Apartment Building. Head over to themichaelblock.com/ebook to get the free training.